Now I want you to shut your eyes and pretend I'm Pastor Dawn, because she wrote this sermon and she's using, you listen. This is going to be the 7 habits of highly effective Christians for 2014, with apologies to Stephen Covey. In the 1990s, Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits for Highly Effective People, was the modern-day Bible for all businesses. We were promised that with this method, we could be more productive, both personally and professionally. In typical American fashion, the 7 Habits became a cottage industry, spawning more books, seminars, and products. I attended these seminars, and I found that deeply ingrained habits like procrastination, negative outlooks, spinning one's wheels instead of actual productivity do not simply vanish because you purchase a good planner or follow a good set of instructions. We all have defaults, and when life gets complicated, we fall back to these default settings. We don't need to pick up another book. What we need to do is retain ourselves in 2014. I want to be that kind of a Christian that comprehends the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Habit number 1, recognize and embrace the good every day. We have become so trained to embrace the negative. Our news broadcasts spew out all the tragedy and mayhem of our existence. And when something bad happens personally, we tend to wrap ourselves in despair and see all our lives through the lens of that despair. Just recently, I spoke with a friend who had a terrible year in 2012. Her family endured marital strife, a toddler with profound disabilities, and financial problems. Then my friend ended up in the hospital. After her health was restored, she noticed that her daughters were very negative. They saw no joy. They could only see a dismal future in front of them. They saw little to celebrate their lives. So she took action. She took a bag with slips of paper and told them every day they were supposed to write at least one good thing that happened to them on a slip of paper and put it in a bag. It didn't have to be a big thing. Simple things like, I had lunch with a friend, or my child woke up happy. Over the next few months, she noticed a change in attitude. Her daughters began to see hope and joy in the everyday blessings of life. By Christmas Eve of this year, they gathered to open the bag and read all the joys of the year. She said there were a lot of papers in that bag. So, our first habit is a simple one used to retain ourselves. You each received a bag along with your bulletin. I'll have to get one. I hope that we will start a year of comprehending the love of God by recognizing the good that surrounds us. Write out at least one everyday blessing you've received. By this time next year, maybe you'll see how beautiful life really is. Habit number 2, find a way to redeem sufferings. Paul writes that his suffering was meant for others' benefit. He found a way to turn bad into good. Now that's a tall order. On the surface, Paul's suffering was an awful betrayal of it. He had a chronic illness which caused him a great deal of physical pain. Although he had successes in his ministry, he also stirred up a lot of controversy, and he was rejected by his own countrymen. He was imprisoned because of his faith. Some friends turned against him at a time when he was most vulnerable. Yet in all that senseless suffering, he found a way not to minimize or discount what he was going through, but to bless others by it. The Johnson family found a way to redeem their suffering after their boy Bo died. They worked through the Go Bo Foundation to provide money for research to cure others of the very thing that took that boy's life. Some people established scholarships to honor the memory of a loved one. In Newtown, Connecticut, the parents of the children who lost lives are now creating playgrounds, animal shelters, anything to ensure a legacy in memory of their dear children. Find ways to redeem your own personal heartaches, knowing the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you and empower you, just like the Spirit empowered Paul. Habit number 3, expand our reach beyond our borders. Paul tells us that when he bows his knees in prayer, it is before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. In other words, every time he prays, he's thinking not only of himself, his family, his friends, his community, but those whom he does not know and whose lives do not directly impact his own. He recognizes that everyone is a child of God. Now, this has implications for us. We need to look beyond the confines of our little community to the population of the big cities, to the people who do not look or act like us, to the global community. This is why we work with the people in Milwaukee. This is why we gave money to the people of Vanderbilt Avenue Moravian Church for their outreach programs. This is why we give disaster relief all over the world. This is why we have a mission program in the Moravian Church. We are all connected. What happens in other places has a direct impact on us, even though we never see them, because the people affected are God's children, and that makes them part of my family, your family, our family. Several years ago, I was asked to host a pastor from Tanzania at my church. He preached on a Sunday morning. I remember him so well because the sermon was painful to listen to. He stuttered and he stammered, and it was obvious that English was not his primary language. I barely understood him. Everyone listened politely, but I could see that his message was lost in his poor delivery. After the service was over, as the people were filing out, I heard some laughter and excited conversation in a language I did not understand. A visitor had come that day, fluent in Swahili, our guest's native tongue. They invited us to dinner, and this shy, awkward man came alive that day. We not only had a wonderful supper, but the pastor left loaded down with gifts for his native land. I drove him up to meet with his fellow Tanzanian pastors who had preached at other churches, and he recounted his chance meeting with his family and happily showed them the gifts he received. The family became members of my church because of that encounter. We are all connected. We are all a part of God's family. Let us continue to expand our reach beyond our borders.